Committee, the recess is over. Please reconvene. The board will please reassemble. All conversations should stop and all board members should come back. Okay, we are back in session and we are starting the two-hour procedure on the budget. I turn the mic over to the treasurer.
Good afternoon, everybody. First of all, I'd like to say something about the fact of what have been mentioned, I think a little bit of a misunderstanding about certain things I'd like to clarify before we dive into this document. And as all of you know from the email, there's been a number of questions put to us and we've answered them as best we can. And there was an implication that the first draft was a completed document and we changed the amounts of monies in various categories in the following drafts. And in fact, those things happened, but it was not all, hardly from the, in the beginning, any budgetary decisions. It was to deal with the template that we have, and that when data starts being put in there, a lot of things happen that we have no control over. So you might consider that first draft as a really rough draft. It was not that decisions had been finally made about where all the money should be. And in fact, when there was so much scrutiny of the first draft, I was a little surprised that nobody noticed in the revenue page there were two columns that had exactly the same numbers in both of them. And obviously everybody's concerned about expenses maybe more than the revenue. But that was because...
It should be Jack Siegel is right.
Dan
Siegel.
Yes. For the record, Dan Siegel is right. Where was I? Anyway, the fact that there were duplicate numbers in two columns in the revenue page was one row was a page holder, I mean, placeholders. So there were not any kind of backroom deals being made or any of that stuff. And we have, in fact, your business manager and I have continued to look at the budget that you've all received, and we've found some very small things that need to be changed. But I said, do not change them. Everybody's freaking out about what's changed between this version and that version. And the things we've noticed did not change the bottom line. So there will be some things that might come up where we've done that. In fact, I believe Maria put a few footnotes about things we've already noticed were in the wrong category. Now, also we have a new and improved version of the budget that we've handed out to the LSB members today, and that is to supply you with pages attached to the various sections, which are from, you know, this budget has, it's in Excel, but it has hundreds of pages, as Maria describes it, with thousands of formulas. And so the smaller sheets that are attached to the larger ones are from that collection of attached, they call them tabs or worksheets. Excuse me, Janet, I'm talking. You don't need to interrupt in the beginning. Let's wait. The pages there are the kind that are the documents that hold the historical information about the various accounts, and those are the things that our business manager and our GM look at when they're trying to project what amount we should put in each category this time. So just so you'll see the stages that we go through to arrive at the figures in the budget, those things are attached. Now also, Maria has just handed out one more single sheet, which is also one of these. This is a very important worksheet that we use, and you've seen before, the page called the Assumptions. And this has historical information about fund drives and the accomplishment of them. And so this is also giving you relevant information about how the figures get into the budget.
I'm sorry, I have the deposition, but I don't have the assumption.
Oh. Ah. You probably were not at your seat here. Maybe Dan does. Okay. Anybody else? It's a single page. That's the assumptions.
Oh.
Are there any for the audience?
I take it back.
There are about two or three here.
I have
here.
An extra one here.
How about the assumptions? No.
That's it. And there were budgets submitted, distributed. You do not have the backup pages. We didn't have enough. We didn't print those. You have a budget that is unadorned back there.
You said a new budget or a new version?
I said the budget is not changed at all. It's the papers, the format. You have extra information behind each of the sections. The same budget you've had since the 27th. Or before that, whenever it was.
Anyway,
yes.
Go ahead.
The final one. Okay. Now, there's been a lot of discussion about, I appreciate the frustration that people have expressed about whether or not we should be spending money on goal busters. But I am of the belief that they are worth their money. They are helping us a great deal. I think the frustration may come from the fact that that help doesn't immediately give us new money. If we all recognize we have to have some investment in that effort, and I think they're helping us marvelously. So I look forward to the rest of their time with us and what they'll be able to give us. I also have been very impressed in our meetings with my meetings with the GM and the business manager about impressed with Richard's experience and his evaluation of how things are going at our station, and he has made the point very strong to me that we have wonderful resources, but we're not using them effectively. And that is the basis of this proposed position that is being questioned, the fund drive coordinator, volunteer coordinator. And I want to read just one sentence from it, and I'm going to pass copies of this job description out. But this sentence is really the essence of what's going on here, that the work that's being described for this position is currently being done by a committee of staff members at the expense of their regular jobs. So this will move people back into more producer time or whatever time they have on that they're performing. So I think it's very important that we think seriously about this position. I think this is a really good investment in our ability to function more efficiently and have, I think there's some very wonderful things that could be accomplished by the person who would be filling this position. Now, when we had our extra, our emergency meeting on the 27th. Those who attended were very impressed by the presentations made by the members of the apprenticeship program. And although I looked at the budget, at our current expenses and our decision to hire Goalbusters as something that I was very happy that they prepared such a professional grant application, and I felt like we'd made a huge investment in the apprenticeship program, but this is an investment that, of course, brings no money immediately. We have to wait to hear. And but we were impressed with the urgency that was expressed by the apprenticeship people. And so at that point, when we went back to figure about the budget, the allotment that we had put in for salaries or increased hours and so on didn't change any bottom lines, but we adjusted things a little bit. And we added 8 more hours. I know this is not 20 or the number of hours that were requested by the apprenticeship program today, but we added 8 more hours to the technical director's position, 8 hours a week. So instead of 4, that position would be increased to 12 hours per week. And we would hope that, of course, when this grant comes in, then, of course, there will be lots more funds for the program. But this was what we felt we could adjust right now. And we also, this proposed position of the fund drive coordinator and the volunteer coordinator was proposed to be a full-time position, and I think anybody reading this job description will see there's probably way more than anybody can do. Or, you know, they're going to have plenty to work on to complete these tasks. We did adjust that to a 3/4 time position. So that was an internal thing that we did in the allotment of the salary increases and that are the total amount there. I want to mention a few other things that Richard recommended, and we just felt we could not put in the budget because, yeah. But these were things that he felt would help us perform the job that we're all supposed to be doing, this radio station, much better. And one was to purchase Arbitron readings again. Now, we had them in the past. They were given up with, you know, various opinions about their usefulness, but he was convinced that it's a good idea to check in on the Arbitron readings every once in a while, and he wanted to propose that we at least get 2 during the year, and that would have been $13,000, and we did not put it in the budget because those were just choices that we made in trying to decide how packed can we get this budget to get us working. He also thought it would be a good idea if we spent about $16,000 on promotion of the station, you know, advertising ourselves to the bigger world. Didn't go in. We did increase some producer hours that will be assigned as the staff and management work that out. We initially thought one full-time job, but not a person. We were thinking of hours being spread, and it's been cut to 55% of a position. But these are hours, and they're not assigned to any individuals right now. There are many places where programs could benefit from having more producer help, and so there are some hours in that salary figure that will cover that kind of thing, but it's not the amount that we talked about initially. Let's see. Let's go to the page that's number 1 down in the right-hand corner. And that's the same for people who have the plain budget with no extra pages. And written in the right-hand column, it says revenue. And I'm thinking that maybe, Maria, do you want to talk about this?
What do you want me to do?
I'll turn it. We might go back and forth here.
Frank, could I have the other mic for a moment? Thank you very much. Just for now, you have two mics.
Okay.
Actually, I'd better refer you back to the single page, which is our assumptions page. And it says fiscal year 14 KPFA budget fund drives. These are the proposed fund drives that we have starting as of July 2013. Then, of course, October 2013 starts our next fiscal year. The way that we came up with these goals for the current fund drive, or for these fund drives, is by the actual pledges that we received from people in previous drives. There's no other way to measure this. So you would see that in column AA, we got $307,559. In total for KPFA and Fresno in 2012. We actually surpassed that, this fund drive. In fall of 2012, we projected that we would get 690. What happened in fall was that we cut our fund drive short so we could actually report on the national elections. So therefore, if I had put that number that we actually made, we would have looked like we were way short. So I had to adjust it by adding four more days to the current fiscal year 14. And the reverse happened in December. So because we had 4 days left in the fall fund drive, we added 4 days to December. But of course, we're expecting that we won't be doing that this year. So I had to adjust them accordingly. You want to describe? So as we go down, you know, you just see that the winter drive, we projected based on what we actually made, which was the $712,756, and so on and so on. So that's how I came up with the pledges that we would expect for this next year. We have what we call the chalkboard totals. The chalkboard total is what actually goes up in the phone room. And that is KPFA, Fresno, and LA all together. Please note that Fresno and LA does not come into our budget in terms of revenue. It does not. What goes into our budget is 100% KPFA. And then it gets allocated based on fulfillment, gets allocated to each month as it comes along. Maybe I should stop and ask if anybody has any questions or is this clear enough? Or
I see one hand. Joy, you can borrow one of our microphones with Frank's help. And Tracy, I saw your hand, so you're next.
While we're passing mics, I'd like to say that in the assumptions page, the column I says 100%. And people have questioned this because they know our fulfillment rate is not 100%. But this percentage has nothing to do with fulfillment of our pledges that we receive. It's whether or not we got the number of pledges. It's not the fulfillment rate in money. So, anyway, just to clarify that, I know there's been some misunderstanding. This is not the place where we're taking a measurement of fulfillment.
Joy.
First of all, Barbara, thank you for your work. I know this is really hard. You and Maria are there late nights all the time, and my heart goes out to you, and I really appreciate your effort. Let me see if I can understand a couple of things. First of all, we pretty much locked down in revenue every year from 2009 down. But this year we're going to keep it the same as last year. You know, we probably are going to go down, but I just want to point that out. I think we're being foolish by not going down a little bit, so our expectations aren't above what we can do. I spoke with Tracy about this just briefly during the break. I would like to see us do a breakdown of community special events and crash band in terms of the expense side too, so we can be clear about where the expenses are going for each item and not lump them together. And I'd like to ask, is the expense side for community special events and crash fair, does it reflect the personnel costs so that is something that we really need to look at, because when we're talking about whether or not we're making money on these things, we need to know what the true expenses
are. Joy, can I stop you for a moment? My question was, do you have questions on the assumptions? Can we get to the...
Oh, I don't even have the assumptions. I'm sorry. I thought we were going to questions on what...
Barbara no,
no.
On where I have
a question about the assumptions.
Okay, well, I have one other thing.
Okay, you're next, Tracy.
Can I have an explanation of miscellaneous other income? Why we project that we're going to get $29,000? What is that, and why is that so different every year?
Here's an assumptions page for Joy.
Thank you. Got any more?
That's all I have.
Okay.
Not really.
And Tracy, if you'd ask your question, if you get the mic.
They'll come, I'm sure. They're coming. Okay. So taking the assumptions page at face value, or 2.765, subtracting 6% for LA, 6% for Fresno, we're then pouring into the budget 2.443 million. We're applying a 90% fulfillment rate. So that means that the listener support we've actually got in the budget out of the fund drive is 2.2 million.
May I interrupt you and anybody else? If you could help those people, such as myself, know what you're talking about, help us locate on the page the figures.
I will do that. Just
thank you.
It takes more time to do that, so don't cut me off midway through the question.
Okay, fine. I need to follow you.
So go to your assumption page, FY2014 budget, fund drive, carry across line 3738. Your KPFA plus Fresno plus LA projections of 2.765 million. To that, you are subtracting 6% for the LA budget, $5,000, 6% for the Fresno income of 155, and that is taking you to 2.443, which you're forwarding to the budget. Before it gets there, you have to take out fulfillment, which is approximately 10%, I think it's at 90%. So that leaves you with 2.2 million moved into your listener support category, which when you go to our budget is account 5,000. The number that's in there is 2.703 million, and that's line 6 on your budget. So there's a difference there of $500,000. That difference is usually presumed to be your direct mail efforts. Then I've seen those numbers in the past on Excel templates. They've been in the range of $300,000, give or take, annually. So there's a gap there for me and a lack of documentation about what this $500,000 difference reflects in exact terms. When I got an answer to the question, it was, well, we're going to send out an extra mailing. So I'd like a little bit more details about that, about the basis of that projection, about direct mail results in previous years, because it seems to me that $500,000 gap between projected fund drive support and what we're putting in to listener support is not documented and a little fuzzy in terms of my own understanding of where and how that projection is.
I don't see 500,000. Can you explain that again?
I thought I just did.
Actually, your explanation is not correct, so I'd like to really, explain that.
Put the mic right.
Well, go ahead. I might get follow-up questions,
okay.
But I can explain.
The problem is this, Tracy. Mm-hmm. The fund drive projections, the assumptions page, mm-hmm. are pledges. Their wishes, their hopes, us asking money. These are proven goals that we have made, and that is verified through MEPSIS reports. Those are pledge reports.
Right.
Okay? Then what goes into Then what goes into the budget is real money that we receive in. You can't just take these numbers and look at the next month and expect that all of that would come in. We receive money over the whole year. actually, sometimes we receive money in just 18 months. People find their pledge thing and they go, oh gosh, I never gave, and they send money in. We keep track of that very, very well in Memphis. So you can't do month for month or you know, correlate a fund drive with a month in the budget.
That's not the question.
That, and then we have an extra, what do you call it, mailing that we're doing this year. They do make money, they do cost a lot of money, but they make money. Same as with the craft fair. Who cares how much money it costs when it makes money, right? That's same as the morning show, but that's a whole other story.
I care. We want to know. We just want to know.
Okay. So, anyway, you can't really just look at the assumptions page and then try to explain what's in that month for the budget. Because that budget has many months or many other fund drives coming in.
Does that make any sense? Maybe I need to rephrase it because that's not an answer.
Maybe.
It's really nice to just get explanations and stuff. I think everybody's feeling like heated. And
sorry.
You just take a whole lot of vibe out of this. It just, because people have different levels of understanding or
and that is what I'm trying to explain. Pledges,
to get
real
clear.
Money. They keep, you know, it's two different things. Pledges are what we use to put, you know, a goal into the budget.
For pledges into. The pledges we calculate to know how much we want to try to raise each time.
Okay.
But when we receive money, that is what we put into the budget.
That's not the question you asked.
And look, the question, the request that I make is that we have a question, there be no crosstalk from the answers until the question is finished. And then when the answer starts, no crosstalk from anybody else until the answer is given, and then we'll go it piece by piece. And I also ask once again, when we're referring to items on several pages with numbers, that you give us the line and the column reference so dumbbells like me can follow. Please. Back to you. On the report.
Well, I guess the question maybe was misinterpreted. I don't know.
Okay. Tracy, would you like to restate it?
To clarify it for us, Tracy, so I can understand it too.
Okay.
Give her the mic.
On switch.
Right here. All right. So,
those are my line items. Those are the
page. First form to pick up is FY 2014 budget fund drive. So that gives you a list of your fund drives. Lines of your anticipated fund drives. No, it's okay, Brian.
Let her finish. If she can't have this time, Brian will bring you in.
Sure.
Okay. Starting on line 25, that's your fiscal year 2014, which begins on September 30th. So you have a number of projections for your fund drive, and you take those down to line 36. Which is the end of your fiscal year 2014. And when you add all those numbers up, you get a number, 2.765739. Everybody see that? Line 3738. Okay. So that is your projected chalkboard totals from all of your fund drives in 2014 that you have planned. Then a couple of things happen to that number. The first thing that happens is you take 6% off of the top, which you are anticipating to be the approximate amount of your Los Angeles budgets, which you don't keep, 7, 10, 11. Then you take 6% off the top for your Fresno budgets, which you don't keep, which is 7, 10, 11. That gives you a number of 2.443807 as your anticipated gross fund drive budget.
Right.
Then you take that amount and you apply to it your fulfillment rate. Your fulfillment rate is the difference between the amount that you're anticipating receiving as pledges and the amount that you're anticipating will actually come through the door as a result of those fund drive pledges because there's a difference. We usually go back and calculate that difference and say it's a percentage, and a percentage that we generally work with for KFA, which is a good healthy fulfillment rate, is 90%.
Right.
So the number that you have from fund drive revenue to move into your budget in the listener support category, which is line 5,000. Is this number 2.443807 in line 37Q on the assumption sheet minus 10% for your 90% fulfillment rate? So that number is $2.2 million. That's how much you're anticipating you will actually see of your projected fund drive budgets. So then you pick up your budget and you look at line 6, listener support, and you look at line 6S, and there's a number in there, which is 2.703554. And that number is different than the $2.2 million. 2.7 minus 2.2 is 2.5. So it's 500. It's $500,000. So that $500,000 consists of listener support that's coming in not in any of these other budgetary categories and not from our fund drivers. So when you ask what that consists of is our direct mail efforts. We send out mailings and we get checks back in return if things go well. So what I'm saying is we're anticipating $500,000 in those direct mail results. That may or may not be a valid projection. In previous years, when we've had a full Excel template, those numbers have been more in the vicinity of $300,000 to $350,000. So the question is, what are we doing this year that's different to anticipate a full $500,000 in direct mail revenue? If you take a look at our projection for 2013, we're projecting 2.581. This is a big difference in what we're projecting. So what I want, or what I'm asking, is for some documentation or some explanation of why we're going to do so much better in direct mail than we have done in the previous years so that we can support this number. So we're not spending money that we won't necessarily get. So I hope that's clear.
Thank you for the answer. Or the response, I should say.
There are many, many components that go into what actually goes into the budget. Our fulfillment rate is 90% at the end of 12 months. The first month, it's, I don't know, 75%, let's say.
After fund drive ends.
After the fund drive ends, the first month, it's the biggest peak.
That fund
drive. Then it just keeps going down over 12 months. At the end of that 12 months, you have 90%. Then you have the next fund drive. Same thing happens. So you cannot correlate one with the other. Pledges, actual, two different things. Yes, we are expecting another mailing that we're going to be doing. We are expecting $224,000 with the mailings in total. We are expecting $117,746 in renewals. Renewals also go into our listener support. Listener support is not just phone room pledges. It is pledges, our direct mails, it's renewals. And again, all of these come in over time. You cannot put any specific number and see it, you know, in a mirror image. It just doesn't work that way. And Joy, to answer your question just while I have it up, in terms of direct mail, yes, we would be making money, you know, despite the fact that the mailings cost so much. Okay. So anyway, and the mailings do a couple of different things. We have mailings that go out at Christmas time, on the holiday time at the end of the year, and it goes out for tax purposes, trying to get people to do their taxes or get their pledges at the last minute. We do a tax mailing, which means then that goes out in March, I forget what it is, but it goes out at the beginning of the year telling people this is how much you pledge, this is how much you could write off on your taxes. We have a summer mailing, and now we are going to do one more mailing that we're going to try and bring people back in. Is that correct, Richard? Trying to the last mailing. So people who haven't pledged for a very long time, target them specifically. And renewals are people who haven't pledged at all for a year. We remind them we're still here. We remind them that, geez, it's been over a year. And, you know, we do those every month, and we do make money off of them. People just remember, oh, yeah, haven't given for a while. Here you go. So you phone room pledges and listener support are two different things when it comes to assumptions and when it comes to actual.
Jack has a question. Would you pass the microphone to Jack, please?
Yes. And if I can ask a follow-up.
You're next. If anyone doesn't want a first-hand chance, you can have a second. Jack.
Because, and only because, the issue of the crafts fair and the KPFA
thoughts
has arisen. I want to ask in the form of an assertion, so you can tell me whether or not I'm mistaken. With respect to the crafts fair, I believe that it has been established previously that the way that the crafts fair works is that even though the crafts fair expenses are listed as part of the budget, the crafts fair is in effect self-supporting. It raises a certain amount of money, and from that money, its expenses, including salaries, are paid. The rest of the money comes to KPFA, even though the expenses are listed on the KPFA budget. So it seems to me that if there is a question about the expenses of the crafts fair, that should be taken offline from a budget discussion and go directly to the administration of the crafts fair where it properly belongs. Now, with respect to the KPFA talks, I simply don't know what the budgetary arrangement is between gross revenue taken in by the KPFA talks and the expenses, including salaries, with respect to the KPFA talks. So I think that a clarification of that might help to address that issue.
Well, since you brought that up, and your assumption or assertion on the crafts fair is exactly right. It doesn't make a ton of money, but it doesn't cost us any money. It is something that's been around for 42, 43, however many years. It's something people count on. This year, unfortunately, will be our last year in the San Francisco Ethan Brannan. Yeah,
the Concourse.
Yeah. They're tearing it down and building lots. So the good news is that this year, with the hard work of our coordinator for the funder or the crafts fair, we are getting that location for $1. So we will be making good money from the crafts fair. Mm-hmm. So next year we have to go find a new place. But you know, this year we're looking good. In terms of community events, yes, this is the way this. What we have here, the budget is what Pacifica has given to us. I don't have free rein of adding account numbers to this, so I'm stuck with what I've got. We do some internal accounting, you know, inside, but I don't put it into this budget. I don't put it into the financial statements. When it comes to community events, two things need to be kept in mind. One is there's no way of budgeting what we're going to get for community events because these are based on books that are being written on when people are out there doing their Oh, time to go home?
Don't you wish.
Yeah. It's for, we don't know who's going to be writing books. We don't know who's going to be out doing their talks for over the next year. I mean, you know, I would imagine Bob does the best he can, but until he contacts publicists, I don't know the inner workings on how that happens. But the other important thing that we need to remember on community events is that it also produces premiums. It produces premiums that our listeners really, really like. And it produces very inexpensive premiums because we duplicate them in-house. So it's a win-win situation. And I guess that's about it for that one.
The list is Joy and then Janet. And then Brian. Point of information to give it, or you need some information?
Yeah. Okay. Or, I don't know if it's point of process. Okay. So are we responding as Maria and Barbara go along? And so if one of us asks a question now, or gets the floor now, and then maybe a second time when Tracy wanted to, is that it for the whole discussion, or are we going to be taking it in parts? I'd like to know how the plan, what the plan is, because I have some questions, but not about what was just spoken.
Then we should get to the next section.
To answer your question, I will be as flexible as possible, but the questions in my mind are specific to the documents that are being presented. So the next document, you'll have another chance to raise questions about it. I will be as flexible as possible as long as we don't have the filibuster. Okay, now the next, Joy, you had asked for it. Janet, does that take care of your raising of your hand?
We're talking about this one sheet right now, is that correct?
That's
assumptions.
And then Brian, and remember we've got a limited amount of time. Please give the mic to Joy, who has been patient.
Okay, so I just want to be clear. Jack talked about the crash fair and all. I was cut off and told him we're talking about assumptions, but then he was allowed to talk about what I was going to talk about, but we'll let it go. I just want to make sure the chair understands that I'm hoping we'll have a new round when we get to the next session. So for the assumptions part, again, I'm still confused. I actually did understand Tracy's question, but I didn't understand the answer. So the question, I believe, was she was asking, why are we assuming we're going to get $500,000 more this year based on just one additional mailing? And I didn't hear a specific answer from Maria on that. I heard that there's all kinds of things that goes into the listener fund accounting, blah, blah, blah. So it's just a clear question. What have we done? What are we going to do that's going to give us $500,000 more than we made last year? That's what I mean, that's a simple question. If you can't answer that, just say you can't.
I did.
I didn't hear that. Okay. That was my only question and comment.
I'm going to try answering this one. Okay, I've had a lot of accounting experience, but I also have some idea about explaining things to people that are not truly accountants, and I've had experience with that too. So I'm going to give it a try. When Maria says these are two different things, we take the records for how successful we've been in generating pledges during our fund drives, and we measure through history how to project what we are going to raise in the coming year for each fund drive. That's one set of evaluation of historical data. The other historical data that we evaluate to put into a budget in the account code 5000 is based on the money that comes in. I think it's kind of a miracle that these figures are so close. You don't take this figure of the projected total amount we're going to get on fund drives in 2014 and say that that's going to be the kind of income you get. It isn't just adding another mailing. It's the other kinds of support that comes in, not just from these fund drives that occur in that year, but in previous years, and the people that are, like myself, having KPFA take money out of my bank account every damn month. And I love giving it that way. And there are plenty of people that do. And that's the historical data we look at to say whether there's a trend that's going up or down. And I will say that I think that Maria has been conservative in not overestimating the data of pledges that are paid, that really is different than the kind of projections we're trying to do as to what goals we should set for each fund drive. I hope that makes it a little clearer.
Janet, was your the reason you raised your hand taken care of? Brian, you have the floor.
I just, the only feedback I want to give you is I think the template that Pacific is handing down for these budget sucks.
Yeah.
Compared to what we had before.
I think here, here.
It was much easier with the templates that we used before to see what portion of the listener support line was from fund drives, from direct mails, when the campaigns were supposed to be, what they were supposed to bring in, there was room for telemarketing. And I think that's where the gap comes in. That line's more than just fund drives. Tracy's not talking about a $500,000 gap from last year. She's talking about $500,000 from what comes in from the fund
drives. The everything else part, right. Which is
That said, I just want to appeal to us all to look at the big picture here. This budget overall revenues assumes that we're going to have $30,000 less next year than we brought in this year. That's a conservative assumption, because if you look at the history on that front page, our overall revenues went up from 2011 to 2012. They went up from 2012 to 2013. And if you were following a straight line trend, you'd expect them to go up next year. And this budget forecast them to go down. Now, there is a big increase in listener support there. But of all our money,
please, one person at a time, I beg of you.
I apologize.
But where they increase our assumptions of revenue is precisely in the area we have some control over, right? Listener support. And they've radically cut it from our trend on that major donor line that we get money every year, but we don't know when, because it tends to come from wills and requests and trusts. I think it's both a conservative assumption on overall revenues, and also it gives the station a lot of control, because we'll know very quickly if we're not hitting the targets in this budget and being able to adjust, rather than like waiting on a request to show up.
Tracy, I see your hand, and I remind the group that this is just about one section of what the report. Tracy.
Yeah, and I'm going to keep this just to assumptions. So, okay, so let's look at what we've done before. I'm just going to make the quick point here. FY 2012, we projected in account 5,000, 2.524 million. 2013, we're projecting 2.581 million. All right, line 6, account 5,000. If you go to number 18, you will see your projected with your support revenue for the 2012.
Excuse me, Tracy, line 6 of what document?
The budget.
Thank you. Now, give me a chance to get there.
Okay.
Is that the one, number 1?
On page 1.
Page 1. The summary. Line 6, account 5,000, listener support.
Thank you.
6AC, that's your projected listener support for the year 2012. It's 2.5 million. Then you continue on line 6 and you get to your projected for 2013, which is the year that we're in the middle of. So while we don't know for a fact that that's accurate, it's being projected again, $2.5 million. It should be noted that, you know, last year we had a big kerfuffle about the reduction in this category that happened on the national level, where we reduced from 2.65 to 2.55, and we are closer to 2.55 in our projected actuals than we are to 2.65. That's what actually happened this year. So when we take a look at this 2.7 number, I appreciate being told that the direct mail is, I think it was 246 is the estimate, and 174 for renewals. That still leaves about 100,000. Give or take, and when we look at the numbers, we are projecting $121,000 increase from what we performed this year. So that number is related to speculative. We're going to make more than we made before because we're going to send out more mailings and more money is going to come back. And the question that I have is whether it's really reasonable to expect that you're going to make another 50% of the total that you made from all of your direct mails this year, because and in previous years, because you send out one more mailing. I mean, what is the scope of that mail? How many letters are we planning to send? I mean, this is a really a substantial increase, and it's clear that it isn't linked to anything else. So it certainly is linked to a obviously massively increased mailing effort. And I'm not really comfortable with the number until we get some sense of why it's real to, you know, to really predict a 50% increase in direct mail revenue. Ryan is right, the overall revenue is less, and he's also right because it's more conservative than some budgets that have come before this board, which I'm glad of. But part of the reason that the revenue is down is because you're looking at a substantial cut in the CPE grant. In other words, it's not our conservatism, it's just the fact that we're getting less money from the CPE. And that we have adjusted our donations subtotal to the fact that major bequests, which I guess is people dying and selling their houses and giving us $100,000, is not something that we should count on. Because it happens and it's great, but it doesn't happen all the time and you can't do it on request. So that's fantastic and that's good. But I'm not sure that we're compensating for it with total accuracy. So I guess what I'm asking for, and Richard, maybe you have a response on this, I don't know, is how much more direct mail exactly are you going to send out, and what is the basis for assuming $75,000 to $100,000 in additional revenue from that effort when with everything that we did in the past couple of years, the number was not that high, or even really close to that high? Because that's the part that I'm really not concerned about.
Well, Richard may have something to say, but I have a comment. Tracy, you taught really good accounting, you know, but you are insisting on making an incorrect connection between the assumptions and what goes into the budget in account 5,000. And I really feel that you're just trying to confuse people. You want them to believe that you have the final word or the final understanding here, and it is incorrect what you are repeating.
Then make it clear.
Well, we've tried to make it clear.
Okay.
The historical data that goes to the page that is the assumptions has been the goals that have been set for various fund drives.
And they just made it up.
No. It's based on historical data. On the records of the fund drives that have gone before. And the money that is projected in the budget is based on the income that has been coming in. And it gets categorized as listener in support. And that is not the same data as what is in the fund drive goals.
Yes, but you can't project.
You're out of order.
Yeah. Look, folks, this is a very, very complex thing, and it's a very, very important thing for us. And I beg everyone.
What time did we start?
Our time of 2 hours ends at 20 minutes of 4.
Yeah, no, we can move on.
Now, I see the. Donald's hand,
Richard,
and I see Dan's hand, and I want to see if Richard has a comment to make to the last question. He has a mic in his hand, and he's almost ready. But I'm asking the board to please, and I'm also asking that there be no cross talk, or else I will ask for disciplinary action against the cross talker. Please go ahead, Richard.
Just a very brief comment. I've heard Maria now say twice that in terms of the way we're looking at specific items, when it's stated by a given member of the board, it includes X. Maria says it includes X, Y, and Z. There has to be some agreement that the lines represent something that we can all agree on. That hasn't been achieved just yet. I don't know how long it takes to get that agreement, but I guess more to the point, and once again, being a manager and wanting a certain degree of pragmatism, is it the point that we will keep arguing something until we do reach agreement that it includes X, Y, and Z, or just X? Is that the point of debating the budget? Or is the point getting some sense that this is the budget we're going to go with and we're going to vote on it? Because if it comes to being an agreement on interpretation, when to be sure there are folks at this table who do not want to agree, and as best I can tell over the past few meetings that I've attended, they're really good at that. So I'm kind of hoping that maybe it's simply a matter of, you know, looking at the budget. This is a truly cynical question, and I apologize in advance. I really get the impression that there are any number of people who have already made up their minds about whether or not they're going to vote for or against this budget. My guess is there are any number of people who would say, you know, it might be nice to make a change here or there, but I'm going to vote for it or I'm going to vote against it. I almost feel as though, you know, almost like a jury when it first meets, they take a vote and they see where everybody stands. Would that be totally out of order? And for those who are perhaps undecided, they would abstain. For those who say, I really feel as though if there were a possibility that I could change my mind, yeah, I'm going to abstain on that. Even if it's just somebody who says, you know, I'm going to go vote for this, but I want to have my say on every single issue here, so I'm going to abstain. That's fine. But I really would like to know if this board has reached a point where it can make a decision on this, especially considering, as I said earlier, this is not a final decision. The final decision comes from the National Finance Committee, and I really don't know if anybody on this board can change this budget to the point where they will accept it. I guarantee you, just from what I've heard about past experiences of this budget process, the Finance Committee is going to change it, and I don't know that anybody here can prevent any of those changes. I want this budget to be the best it possibly can be, and I don't want to preclude anybody's input on it. But I really want a pragmatic sense of where we are. Is it possible to find that out?
Okay, let me indicate to people who are asked for the floor for the first time, and then call them, and I'm also going to take advantage of the chair to make a brief statement. Donald, Dan, Craig for the first, Janet, you haven't spoken on the issue, Janet and then Craig. I hope somebody would correct me if I am wrong. A budget is a plan, not a constitution.
Right.
Donald, you have the floor.
Thank you. I think Richard just laid out very well here. A budget is a planning document for those of us who have created budgets in our profits or seven on the boards of directors. The nitpicking here is astonishing, to say the least. While indicating dramatic differences in numbers. What is true here is while we are maintaining this station, while the revenues are coming in here in various revenue streams, Pacifica is losing their ability to maintain, what is it, three or four other stations. So while we nitpick over here about whether our business manager is off by $10,000, $20,000, BAI just laid off everybody pretty much, and hired at the same time our former interim general manager. So what does that say about Pacifica's management of budgets to begin with, their understanding of it, and the woman who chairs the Pacifica National Finance Committee, who happens to be raising all the nitpicking questions? That's what I would put to my colleagues on the other side here. What is this about?
Dan, you have the floor.
Pass the mic.
So, my feeling about it is pretty much the same as what Donald and Richard just said. This is a projection. It is our best effort to plan for the current year. It doesn't take Einstein to look at the numbers in front of us and to realize that our budget for the coming year is going to be about $3.5 million, right? That's what it's been for the last 5 years. It doesn't make sense to me to start going into items that may collectively amount to 2 or 3% of that budget. I don't have any question but that our budget should be about $3.5 million for the coming year. If it's 3.4, 3.6, who the hell knows, right? There are a lot of projections that are based on the best assumptions people can make. I would agree that we should be conservative in light of past practice, and I think the budget is conservative, but I think we should also have some optimism. The economy is getting better. People are giving more. Nonprofits across the country are saying that they have an opportunity to expand their revenue, expand their solicitation. So I really think the chair should get on with this. I think we should try to limit our involvement to real factual questions, not arguments. Question what is built into support, what is built into expenditures for personnel, and so on, rather than getting into a level of detail that at the end of the day doesn't really mean anything.
Can you, Dan, can you pass the mic over? So the chair stepped out temporarily and asked me to take over. So next on the speakers list is Janet, then Craig, Andrea, and anybody else?
Brian.
Well, on procedure, and I'm guilty of this like everyone else. We seem to have drifted off assumptions.
Yes, exactly.
Are we like into the budget? Should we just get into it? Should we recognize where we already are so we can eventually get to a vote?
How much more review do you two need to
do? We don't need any more review.
Okay. Can we move into the, are we sufficiently informed to move into the budget discussion?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So, if that's the understanding, let me see a show of hands of those who want to speak on the budget as a whole. Okay. Whoops. So, keep your hands up for a sec.
I want to wait till later that I can formulate.
Yeah. Hold on. Yeah. So, the speakers list right now is Janet, Craig, Andrea, Brian, Mel. These are all first-time speakers. Franklin, first-time speaker. Joy, second time, and Tracy
lost track.
Joy is Tracy is third time. So, so the question that you raised it again of short hands of who wants to speak on the budget as a whole.
It sounds like the question was raised whether we're prepared to move into discussion of the whole budget. It sounds like we are. The treasurer and business manager don't have anything more to add. So we can move into the substance, and that's where we seem to be going.
And that list.
Yes.
Okay.
So Janet's up next.
Please, go ahead.
I wasn't going to speak to the budget as a whole.
Yes.
But I want to, so can you put me on the list for that? But I wanted to just talk about my understanding for what Richard would have brought out. Do we understand X, or do we understand A, B, and C? Or, you know, are we on the same page? And my understanding between the assumptions and the listener support line 6, item 5,000, is this, that including Tracy's analysis of the 90% coming up to 2.2 million, my understanding is that that does not include direct mail and renewals. The numbers on this sheet
just
do not
fund drive.
Right. Whereas on line 6, listener support on the budget, that includes pledges, which is from this.
Direct mail, pledges, direct mail, and renewals. Is that correct?
That's how I'm seeing it, and I just wanted to.
That's X, Y, and Z.
Okay, so that's how I'm looking at it.
Thank you. Okay, we are now, if I understand where the progress, well, I had to go out of the room. The subject for discussion is the budget as a whole. Is that the correct assumption?
That's like where we are.
And the list is Craig, Andrea, Brian, Mel, Franklin, Joy. Tracy is not the third time. This would be the first in the budget as a whole. And Janet, you asked to be on, so you are. Am I mistaken as to the list? Seeing no correction, Craig, you...
Great information. Does the treasurer and the business manager have comments to make about the budget itself before we start having comments?
Questions not answered.
Okay, thank you, Donald. You have the mic, user.
Okay. So, we started this discussion 55 minutes ago. No, 65 minutes ago, right? We have 55 minutes ago. And I don't want to spend the rest of the time niggling over, you know, nickels and dimes here. I trust the work of our business manager and our treasurer. They're both committed, conscientious, and professional. And I have full faith in their figures and projections. That's not where we should be spending our time. We should be spending our time talking about what the bigger pieces of the puzzle are. I totally understand and appreciate Richard's frustration here. What we're looking at, the changes that have been proposed, and I am maybe missing things, but I'm asking to fill this picture out. It looks like we're looking to increase staff time by 8 hours for the apprenticeship program. That's one large proposal, one bigger proposal. We're asking, the proposal has been made to fund a fund drive and volunteer coordinator at 75% time. That seems to be another element here. Another element which has been raised by speakers, public speakers, is funding incidental budget for unpaid staff. Okay, so those are three items that I can see, you know, we should be talking about. Do we want to do these? Do we want to do something else? It's been raised in the past that we should fund a development director. I mean, maybe we should talk about doing that. We should be talking about the gross elements here, not nickel and diming over every goddamn line in the account. That's why we paid Maria to do this work, and she's done it consistently, professionally, and I have full faith in her, and I believe we should, as a board, express full faith in the work of the people we hire to do this work, instead of second-guessing them. And so let's talk about what the elements are. Where do we want the station to go? You know, what are our priorities? We really haven't had those discussions, and again, I appreciate Richard's comment that we should be talking about this back in January. It's a little late now, and I'm hoping, looking into the next year, we can start these discussions earlier. But what are our priorities? And where do we want to go? What do we want to fund? Let's talk about those items and not spend our time nickel and diming over every goddamn account.
The next speaker is Andrea. Here's a mic.
Where's the other mic? Oh, here.
Would you stop this? Stop the timer again, Brian, please. Give her the full 3 minutes.
Well, I guess, excuse me, I want to express a different opinion. I actually appreciate, I don't consider it discussions about nickel and diming. You know, those nickels are whether or not the unpaid staff get reimbursed for their expenses. Those nickels are whether or not, those nickels and dimes are whether or not we have a halftime or a full-time or a no-time fundraising coordinator. So I think it's relevant. I do think it's sad that we're at this late hour and we're in this pressured situation. And frankly, I don't understand, because I feel like I've had deja vu all over again. I feel like we've had this conversation about an annual budgeting cycle and that the LSV should be part of an evaluation of the year's activities and projection of exactly that. What we should do with whatever discretionary, whatever little tiny amount of discretion we have in this budget, how it should be applied to grow the station and to fulfill the mission. So, you know, I appreciate all the heat and stuff. I guess, you know, a little light about why we're in the same situation again. This question of that we're not able to deal with realistic figures, you know, in a timely manner so that we can actually participate in a wider goal setting strategy. I don't know if that makes makes you mad. I hope it doesn't.
Makes me mad.
I hope it doesn't, because I'm not trying to make anybody mad. I have all respect. And it's, well, no, actually, it's not. Whatever you just said, which can't be said on there. We got us. But you remember last time we were in this process, and we said we've engaged in budget. What are our budget priorities for the coming year? Remember, we had those little budgeting workshops. The folks showed up. So what happened to that? Why wasn't that able to be accomplished? Because that, I think, adds to some of the tension at the table. And so I also, I do respect and appreciate people who look at the fine details. You know, these are not little sums to be ignored. And with that said, you know, you can respond to whatever you want to, but again, ladies, you don't have to be so angry. It's in the spirit of education and inquiry. I don't care. I'm looking at legal fees. I'm looking at, I'm curious, but I don't understand. I wish somebody could talk to me about what you're projected, what you're anticipating as legal fees. It looks low in my uneducated.
Zero.
Zero seems a little low, a little optimistic considering the climate in which we operate. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
Well, I mean, can I just point of information or whatever the heck you're supposed to
hear? Use the mic and say it.
We're kind of jumping all over the place. If I'm jumping to legal, you know, we're going to end up all over the place and get lost. So, you know, the budget is done in pieces, and I would suggest we go there. But your question will be answered. I'd like to say that there were three budget preparation meetings. Okay. We did call them.
Point of personal privilege.
I know.
Hold on a second.
Please don't do that. We asked you to doodle this group. You would not do that. I told you I was going to be gone for the week. So please don't.
All right. And in addition to that, which some people did attend, there were questions sent in on email, and all of the answers were put on email. So the people that did put questions ahead of time, the answers were given, and you could have read all of that. And there was an explanation in one of the questions about the legal expenses. So I don't have the printed form of that now. All right, Maria.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brian, do you want the floor, or Jack, do you want the floor?
Yes, I'd like to speak. I'm on the next one.
Okay. Jack, I'm adding your name. Donald, are you asking for the floor?
Not yet.
I'm going to ask, and the board is the ultimate decision. I'm going to ask that we treat this in the way that we treat the manager's report. I'm going to ask people to state their questions, and then I'm going to turn the microphone back for responses. Otherwise, we will just never get through this in the same way. So that is the board's order. The next speaker, let me give you the list. Brian, Mel, Frank, Joy, Tracy, Janet, Jack. Have I missed anybody?
Matthew.
All right. Brian, please.
I'm going to make a motion so we actually have something to debate instead of just spinning our wheels at the
government. Okay.
My motion is that we approve the budget with the proviso that station management add $5,000 to line 6571 to pay for unpaid staff to participate in training and conferences with the prior approval of their manager and department head. There's a second on the motion.
Would you read it again for my benefit, please?
That we approve the budget with the proviso that station management at $5,000 in line 6571 to pay for unpaid staff to participate in training and conferences with the prior approval of their manager or department head.
Thank you. And is that seconded?
Yep. Second.
Okay.
I'd like to
motivate it?
I'd like to motivate my motion.
Okay.
I actually appreciate all the nitpicky questions, and I think they play a role in making our budgets more solid. I think more scrutiny makes for better planning. I also think there's a time and a place. And the fact is that we had a meeting to deal with the budget that some members who had very good questions chose to boycott.
They could have brought those questions to the table, say, hey, I have unresolved issues, and by the way, the Finance Committee isn't going to get to this for another month anyway, so let's take extra time to get it right. And despite all the fireworks, we're a reasonable body. You know, I think as same people, we can do that. Right now, we have the budget we have. And as I said before, I think the revenue assumptions overall are conservative. Even though our incomes in total have been going up every year for the past 3 years, it assumes they'll go down. The spending priorities, if I was drawing up my own budget, these would not be my spending priorities. I would take every extra dollar we have, and we would be hiring the people it takes to put a two-hour morning show back on the air. But it's not my budget. And I respect the fact that management thinks the station's going to run smoother if we're adding a fund drive coordinator. And I, for one, am happy to sign off on a budget that does that, a budget that increases funding for the apprenticeship program, because I think that's a valuable part of our station. Just about every part of our station has been cut really hard, but I am happy with the first increases to go into the apprenticeship program. And I think when we pass this budget, we make a statement about what our priorities are as an institution. And the question is not, can you find $500 here or $1,000 there that you don't like? The question is passing this budget going to leave us better off than we would be without it? And that's why I would urge voting yes.
Just bear with me. I saw Joy's hand. I saw Jack's hand. I see Frank's hand. I saw Janet's hand the first time you read it. Raised it. Now, this is on the motion.
Yes.
And Janet has the first mic. Janet, you can use this one.
Oh, you got it.
Can I? There's one little point of information. Brian called it line 6571. That's the account number. It's really line, the line in the grid of the budget is 118.
Account number 6571.
Yes, account number 6571, conferences training, is actually line 118 in the budget. In the programming expenses section.
Wait, I'm sorry. So
line 118.
Okay, but what's the account number we want to refer to?
6571.
Is the
account number.
Okay, that's correct. So that's
okay.
Noted here.
The motion has been corrected for that purpose. And Brian, I'm going to give you a little bit of a prod. You're a timekeeper. That includes. You're going to push a button for Brian's talking, too.
Oh, he didn't go over.
No, he did not go over. I was watching. Janet.
Yes, so
Tracy, I see
don't
you
know
there.
What the terminology is. I don't know if it's a substitute motion or an amendment to the $5,000 part, Brian, that you talked about. I would want it to be not allotted just for training and professional, conferences, but to be allotted for assorted work-related and emergency expenses for unpaid staff. Also,
you're making an amendment?
Yes.
This is a, yeah, okay.
Yes, also, that procedures for disbursements of this money would delineate what funds could be used. Well, all right, so if this is all in that one account, then it would come out of that account, but it would need to be earmarked for more than just conferences and training.
All right, if I understand, the intended amendment is that it also include, and correct me, work-related and emergency
expenses. Right, and that written guidelines for how those funds could be used would be developed by management and UPSO regarding how this money would be administered in a way that enhances KPFA and the unpaid staff. I have it written out here.
Okay.
And that management provide training for unpaid staff as to what reimbursable expenses are available to them and how to apply for such reimbursement.
That's an amendment to the motion. That we now turn to the amendment first. Anybody? Am I incorrect again?
No, I didn't speak to the amendment.
Huh?
I'd like to speak to the amendment.
Oh, speak to the amendment. All right.
Second. Is there a second?
First of
second.
All.
Is there a second?
Second. Is there a second? Yeah, I'm sorry. Andrea, thank you. If I'm making notes, I may not be attentive. It has been made and seconded. Would you like to motivate it?
Well, yes. I mean, based on some of the input from public comment, specifically Adrian Lowy, some of the concerns that unpaid staff or issues that unpaid staff need to deal with, that they are not paid, and there is support for paid staff in many different ways, but not financial support, but not for unpaid staff. That this is basically a pittance, and paid staff got a raise, so and unpaid staff doesn't have any salary to be raised, but still just a pittance. So that's my.
Okay, speaking of the amendment, Brian is the first one who was asked for the floor. You have it.
So I just want to clarify a couple things. The station has a line for reimbursing transportation expenses associated with doing work for the station. And it doesn't distinguish between paid and unpaid staff on reimbursements. When we send an unpaid reporter in the news department out of an assignment, they put into reimbursement of our tickets the same way I do or Christopher Martinez does. And that's something that's budgeted to continue in this budget. If you want to get to stuff like a welfare fund for personal emergencies, which is not something we have for paid staff either, it sounds like that's something you want to work out in collective bargaining between the unpaid staff and management and not set it through a board debate where people aren't in the rooms to talk through those concerns. It raises other issues. For instance, what does the IRS consider taxable income that we can get dinged for not paying unemployment tax and payroll taxes on? For instance, the IRS distinguishes between reimbursing someone for transportation to work and transportation to get to work. They tax you on paying someone to commute. They don't tax you on reimbursing someone to get from the workplace to a work site and back to the workplace. These are like good ideas, but in the scheme of a $3.5 million budget, I don't think we need to like get into the minutia of the policy now. I guess I'm arguing for mine untouched. It's cleaner and it sets the money aside, and then the details can be worked out later.
So yours is against your negative to the third. Maria has asked for the mic, and I will give it to her for background.
It is actually very true. If we were to reimburse somebody for getting to and from work, that's a taxable item. We would get into trouble. When I first came here in 2009, KPFA had actually gotten dinged for hiring a lot of contract workers. The IRS really looks at that kind of stuff. So we don't want to go there. We don't want to start paying people, quote unquote, under the table, okay? It's going to open a whole can of worms, and as a nonprofit, you don't want to open that can. You know, we do have a budget for training. We do have a budget for reimbursing. We do it all the time for people who actually have approved stories to go to and so on. They get reimbursement for coming from the station to their story and back. But we can't allow for paying for someone to get to work. That just is
it's
not.
A work-related assignment.
It's a work-related assignment. We will reimburse. If there's training, bring it to us. The general manager would approve it. And it
has to be work-related.
Yeah, work-related, obviously. So, but just remember that this is an IRS issue, and we have gotten in trouble for a similar thing in the past.
Janet, I see your hand, but because of you've spoken in the motivation, I'd like to give. You will be called upon in a moment, but Craig has asked for the floor for the first time.
So I think one of the things we need to be careful of as a board is micromanaging. And, I mean, I appreciate the sentiment behind the amendment, but it seems like This fund should be administered pursuant to policies promulgated by station management. And I think that's where we ought to leave it. Janet's amendment talks about assorted work-related and emergency expenses to be determined how, I don't know. I mean, those are all pretty specific. Up to a maximum of $200 per person. I mean, that seems, I don't know, kind of arbitrary. Plucked out of the blue. It's arbitrary. I mean, this is why we pay station management, you know, to figure these things out and administer this. And I'm totally happy with a motion that says add $5,000 to the account to be administered pursuant to policies promulgated by station management, who can figure out these questions about, you know, what's tax deductible, what isn't, is this training, is this reimbursement, how does this mesh with existing policies, and so forth. So let's not micromanage. It would incorporate, I'm sure, the sentiment behind Janet's amendment, but, you know, we pay them to figure this stuff out.
People who asked for the floor, Lewis, Barbara, and Janet. I'm going to, Tracy, on the amendment.
Let me just say, I'm urging people to vote no on the amendment.
Okay.
For that reason.
Okay. And let me beg folks to look at the clock and don't keep adding. It's Lewis, Barbara, Tracy, Janet at this point. And Danny, you're going to help wind up this issue. You have the last word.
I got a question on Brian.
It's too late to
start.
Oh, okay.
You want to say it again so you heard all of you even heard you.
I fell off with a question on Brian.
Well, that has to be on the amendment.
Still on the amendment.
Still on the amendment?
Still on the amendment.
The question has been called. The question has been called. It takes an immediate vote, and it takes, if I'm not mistaken, a two-thirds vote to cut off debate. All those in favor of calling the question, please indicate.
Calling the question on which
one? The amendment. The amendment. My apologies for the tone of my voice. It's a valid question.
I'm going to talk about the whole question.
The vote takes precedence over anything else. All in favor of ending debate on the amendment, please signify by raising a hand. In the absence of the secretary, would the treasurer please do a count?
13. I get 13.
All those
yes.
Opposed?
2.
Okay. We proceed to a vote.
Were there any abstentions? No. Okay.
We proceed to a vote on the amendment, which.
We have a list.
would I ask you to read it because, as a maker, just.
I didn't read the whole thing before, but all right, I'll do it now. An additional $5,000 or $6,000 be allotted for assorted work-related and emergency expenses for up to a maximum of $200 per person for unpaid staff. Their status is defined by the bylaws that is voluntary for the 30 hours in the past 3 months, exclusive of phone room hours, or being certified by a recognized unpaid staff organization. Written guidelines for how the funds could be used would be developed by management and UPSO regarding how this money would be administered in a way that enhances KPFA and the unpaid staff, and that management provide training for unpaid staff as to what reimbursable expenses are available to them and how to apply for such reimbursement.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
The nays have it. Now we move to the motion itself.
We have a list.
I have a list. And my list, correct me if I'm wrong, is Janet, Joy, Jack, Frank, and Tracy.
Yeah,
you're done. All right, Joy, you've got it.
Okay.
Thank you for your patience.
Yeah. No problem.
Good morning, everybody.
I'm going to vote against the motion. I would like to suggest we look at this. I love, Brian, the spirit of what he's trying to say. I do want to move us on, but I take exception to the characterization of my question being nickel and dime and nitpicking or whatever. In order for me to pass my judgment on this budget, I need to know what went into the thinking of it, and that's what I was trying to get clarification on, and I apologize to me if you were upset about that, but I understand it better now, however long it took. And also, I want to have confidence in your assumptions on the expenses side, so I got to have confidence on the revenue side. So that was all I was trying to get. So I'm saying, overall, of course I trust the work that you do, and I know you have the best aspirations, you and Barbara, of course, but $100,000 is not a nitpicking thing, and now that I have the explanation, I think it was important that we get it. But I'm against the motion because it doesn't give the apprenticeship, it says increasing the apprenticeship, but 8 hours is not what we need. It's not what we cut out. Originally, it was voted of 100% development coordinator, or whatever it was, a fund drive coordinator. You went down to 0.75%, and I'm saying, why can't we give a 0.5 to the apprenticeship program, and I'd be willing to vote for a 0.5 to the development coordinator, and I think we should look at that. And then, and I also want to take exception to Barbara saying that it doesn't bring in money, the apprentices, you know, right away, helping the apprentices doesn't bring in money, and I disagree with that. The apprentices come down and answer phones, which brings us money when we need it. Also, our little fund drives, and we increase the presence of KPFA in the community, which brings new listeners, which hopefully brings new donations. So that's all I wanted to say. I'm
Thank you.
The motion for that.
I'm sorry, did you say you made a motion?
She said she's voting against it.
Oh, but that's a motion. It goes to Jack.
I am for the motion, but I'm very sympathetic to what Joy said. And I wish that the character of the discussion that we have had would have allowed for the simple laying on the table of the issues that Joy just raised and working with the budget in order to be able to put those things into it. Unfortunately, the character of the discussion went, in my view, in a negative direction rather than in a positive direction to have those kinds of amendments. I wish it were possible to incorporate Joy's concerns into this motion. And I would make an amendment to do that if I knew how to do that in a proper parliamentary way. But I'm for the motion in a different kind of positive way. I'm for the motion because I want to see us have a direction in the station that allows us to raise more money, that allows us to have greater resources, that allows us to use KPFB in a fuller way so that we are no longer having turf battles that are disguised as something else. I want to get the turf battles and the disguised as something else off the floor so that we can have a positive use of the resources that we have and not be nibbling at what we perceive as being on somebody else's plate. I want management to be able to realign the programming schedule on KPFA and KPFB so that we attract a wider listenership, raise more money, and give more opportunity for younger programmers to show and strut their stuff in a way that makes the station a more positive place. And I wish to hell that the discussion of the budget and the discussion of other things like that associated with it could be positive in that sense, instead of us scrambling over nibbles off of somebody else's plate. Thank you.
Thank you. The listing of the speakers, Frank, Tracy, and Craig. Frank, you keep the mic.
All right. I'll try to word my thoughts, if I can, articulate them right. I'm going to vote against the motion. One, Brian, no offense. You're asking us to vote on a motion right away, and we haven't talked all about it completely. The union increase of 9% is in there. You know, it's almost done. I don't even know if we can stop it. Does it, anyone else at the station get an increase in their wage? The other people that aren't in the union?
Yes.
So everybody gets a raise.
No cross-table discussion, please.
Yeah, well, I did not know that. So maybe it's not just a union increase. So the whole station goes up. I'm just going to say yes or no, I guess.
I'll put you on the list, Brian.
All right, I'll just keep on going. So if not, I don't know. Does everybody else get a raise in there? Maybe that would be great. We talked about an increase in your apprenticeship program. That, believe me, I feel it. I'm glad. But it's not really an increase. It's not even a restoration to where we were. It wouldn't make a difference. It would make a difference in the person who's doing it. At that point, would be me. And I want to also try to direct attention to me as much as the position, because when I started, it was a one-year spot. I have plans to move along, but if I would have went, there'd be no spot. And that has happened to the other two. When they left, the job diminished. So if I go, I'm afraid that it'll be gone. Do I want to move on someday? Yes, I do. I have plans for my own apprenticeship program where I live, right? I've got to commute back and forth 2 hours a day. So that's one reason. It's not an increase in the apprenticeship program. It won't do anything. It'll give me a couple hours more. Great. Maybe when I move on, someone else take it. But it's not giving support to the apprentices who actually need someone there to help them edit their stuff, to listen to them, to give them feedback, to 15 different people a week on 15 different projects they're working on. One thing is, for me, the union raise, I don't know, well, I'll find out if it's all across the board, and other stuff within there. Child care, for example. Who in the station gets child care? I don't know exactly who, but I don't know if that's outside the union or not, but I know the union does. And they get chucked. It seems to me that the people who are getting the most are getting a little bit more, and the people that don't have anything aren't getting nothing. And another example, maybe bar tickets and travel. Christopher Martinez, I know he has traveled Sacramento and back, and bless his heart, he has a hybrid car and he's doing his best. But these people are already making probably the higher level in the station. The people that are not having to pay, or that are traveling back and forth with no pay, or maybe a 2 hour pay, or four in my case, they're not getting reimbursed. Or maybe they can if they fill out proper procedure. We'll find out, I guess. So I think part of Janet's thing about maybe management having a lesson on what is reimbursable for people, that would help.
4 seconds.
4 seconds. Well, I guess that's better to stop there. I can't formulate the rest of my thoughts.
Okay. Tracy, then Craig, then Barbara, then Brian.
Can I have a
clock?
All right.
3 minutes,
babe. So on that level, I mean, I appreciate what Richard said. What it comes down to is in a couple different ways to do budgets. One of them is incremental, which is basically what we do. We carry over what you did last year and move it up and down. The other is zero-based budgeting, and that's where you start from the beginning, say we have $3.5 million to spend. What are our priorities? And everything zeroes out when you start. When you do that, you have a better chance to deal with your unmet needs, and we have a whole bunch in this budget that we're simply not addressing, which is correct. That includes promoting the station, which we don't do. Technical needs, our website is not good, and not going to get better. Our apprenticeship program, we're applying for grants from the National Endowment for the Humanities, and yet we're expecting the program to run with 0.5 staff, period. No program is going to attract national funding if, in fact, we're not even going to invest in it. That's a problem. We talk about wanting to change from off-air, from on-air fundraising to off-air fundraising, but we have no investment in off-air development to speak of. And in fact, the new position that we're hiring is to help us with our fund drive. So we're not doing what we're talking about.
When it comes to the details on this budget, using our depreciation allowance entirely to hire new staff is problematic. Having a legal allowance of zero is problematic. We have 8 grievances at least on the table. In addition, last I heard, December 2012, we still owed money on the Esther Mania deductible. I'm not seeing in the financial statements that that's been paid. So I really question how we can get away with spending $0. Adding $254,000 in personnel expenses is problematic. You're going to have to absorb 3% next year and the year after that. These expenses don't go away. And it's an awful lot of them, especially when you know that you've got a website that's subpar, especially when you know that you don't promote the station the way that you should, especially when you know that you're going to want to add development staff on top of that. Sometimes choices have to be made, and I think there's a question here of which of these many things do we want to do? And I think the answer is everything, unless pop-up listener support by an extra $100K to $150K to pay for it, is not the right answer. And when it comes to nickels and dimes, guys, your surplus here is $7,953, and Brian just lowered it to $2,953. $100,000 here, $100,000 there matters.
The next person who has asked for the floor is Craig.
So I guess I have a question for the station management. Sorry.
Oh, I'll start it again. That was quick.
So I want to follow up on Joy's question, which is, and I think Richard, you may have been out of the room when she raised this, was, is it possible to increase the hours of to fund some apprenticeship, restoration of some of the apprenticeship programs by decreasing the hours of this proposed fund drive coordinator, volunteer coordinator? So, and I think it's, I guess my question is, she had suggested maybe reducing the coordinator position to 50% time and using those funds, you know, for the apprenticeship program. And I'm wondering if that's something that would work. Does that mean your goals here, is that a viable option from your perspective?
Richard, I'm going to come back to you after the people who have asked for the floor, and if I get a cut off debate, you get it before the debate is cut off. The next person is Barbara, Brian, Lewis, and then Richard.
I'd like to address a couple things. One is a statement Joy made, apparently quoting me, saying that the apprenticeship program doesn't bring in money, and I never said that.
You said right away.
I said the grant that we've applied for to support the apprentices wasn't bringing money, and then when they came and spoke to us, it became clear that the idea of waiting to find out about the grant was too painful. They really wanted more support immediately. And that's the point at which those of us looking at how much we could put in for salaries to buoy up the programs that we have, that was when we reduced this full-time position by 25% in order to increase the support for the assistant director or the technical director, whatever his name is, the title is, for another 8 hours.
I see.
And so I never said they didn't bring in money.
Okay.
All right. I fully recognize the support that the apprentices give, and in fact, all the other volunteer programmers who work there. I'd like to say something about this surplus. If you look in the budget, right up in the left-hand corner, Maria has put the surplus, and you know, when the earlier versions, not those that you saw, but she would run through her computer the template, and we change, you know, adjust something about the data that we had and so on, we would sometimes have a deficit, but we of course were not heading for a deficit, and that was just a total a double check. So this amount that we've arrived at of this budget would give us $7,900 surplus. I recognize that that is very small, and yet I support the motion that Brian has made, which would reduce it down to $2,900, because I think that that is a reasonable thing to propose, that we have this $5,000 additional available for people to attend conferences, any assigned training. It has to be approved by management. It isn't, and it has to be related to your job. It has to be that it will benefit the station as well. So I know that the road I'm going to go on with this budget to the finance committee is going to be very tough, but I will argue for the fact that this is a reasonable effort, and even though the surplus is small, I think we put in some very good study and calculation to make the budget that we've proposed. And I will be voting for Brian's motion.
Brian Lewis Richard. Brian, grab a mic if there's one near you. And time yourself.
Okay, I just want to speak for a little bit to the issue that Frank raised about the union contract. There's a 3% raise this year in the contract that applies to everyone who works at KPFA except the management positions. The union contract sets the wage for everybody in the bargaining unit, which like includes the hours you get, whether you choose to join the union or not. So your wage is about 3%. Consumer price index for the Bay Area last month, the annualized rate is 2.6% inflation. It's not really a raise. It's holding steady. Our real wages at KPFA have been dropping because of inflation for 5 years. It's the equivalent by now of 14% pay cut that we've been going through. There's no, like, you know, child care allowances, which are relatively inconsequential in the scope of this budget, have been in the union contract for as long as I've worked at the station, for 10 years. It's not something new.
And non-union people have used it.
And I think the point I want to bring around to is this. If you accept that KPFA is a station where there are going to be some paid positions, and that it's also going to be a station that welcomes the work of unpaid staff and volunteers, then I think we have a responsibility as an organization that when we ask someone to make KPFA their job, the place they spend the bulk of their time, what they do rather than working somewhere else, that they make enough money at that station that they can actually live on it in an incredibly expensive area. And if you compare the wages at KPFA to what any of the other broadcasters, including the other non-commercial broadcasters in the Bay Area, are paying, they're tiny. So, you know, out of a budget of $3.5 million, that raise this year adds up to just shy of $30,000 for everybody, off-air coordinators, board ops, salaried union members. And although I was not party to the negotiations, I think it's completely, completely unreasonable. Particularly, you know, if when we hire people at KPFA for open positions, if we want to be able to attract people who are competent. So,
all right, Lewis?
I thought we had a question.
Before you do, because I made a promise, it's an outstanding question that Craig asked, and I asked Richard to hold off on the response. And then I'll recognize you for that purpose, Lewis.
There are many people who work at KPFA now who work far in excess of the hours that they're paid to work. When the position for the Fund Drive Volunteer Coordinator came up, I originally asked that it be a full-time position. I believe, even at that, that position will probably put in more hours than we're paying. We talked it over. We came to the conclusion that in terms of its viability here at the board, that a three-quarter position would be probably more acceptable. I still view that as anybody who takes that position would probably, as so many others do at the station, be working more hours than they're actually paid for.
That's the history.
Yeah. You can bring it down to a 50% position, and that person will be working far more hours than what we're paying them to work. You may get someone to accept that. You may get someone who decides it's not worth the effort. I wish I could give you a more succinct answer, but it really is the choice of others to determine what is fair. I made that judgment, and it's just my opinion. This is something that you have to determine for yourselves. Do you think, in terms of what that job is calling for, that a half-time position is appropriate?
Lewis has made a motion, and I asked him to hold it off. Lewis, you have the floor.
I just got the question on trying to pose it.
Burton?
Jack? Right. And hold on, okay. Joy.
Would it be, in some sense, parliamentarily appropriate to ask at this point for Brian to accept the spirit of Joy's recommendations having to do with the apprenticeship program as a request, directive, to management to try to accomplish what Joy has requested as part of the board's statement to management on the budget. Is that
the only idea that I can
fundamentally correct?
Sounds like an amendment.
Well, right now we've got a
call
for the question, and I've got to deal with that. Let me try to sort this out, and I'm treading on your rights at this moment. If we do what we're supposed to do and vote on this motion, I think it would be appropriate for Jack to make a motion
afterwards
stating the essence of what he just said. I anticipate, as a prognosticator, you might get a unanimous vote out of it. But right now, I've got to honor Lewis's motion, which is to call the question. All those in favor of calling the
question? Can you read it again?
Thank you. That's a good one. Call the question. Will they read the motion?
This is to end debate. So.
Yeah, oh, sorry. You go to the question.
Read it again so people will know what the significance is.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So the motion is to approve the budget with a proviso that station management add $5,000 to account number 6571 to pay for unpaid staff to participate in training and conferences with the prior approval of their manager or department head.
All those in favor of ending debate?
This is ending debate.
Please signify by raising your hand.
That's 9 yes.
All those who are opposed to ending debate at this time?
6 no. So, fails.
The motion fails. The motion to end debate fails.
So we can point out
clarification.
Yeah, go ahead, Andrea.
I just want to be clear that we have Brian's motion on the floor, but we are in a broad discussion because his proposal is to approve the budget, essentially, with one amendment.
The broad discussion.
And so the broad discussion we should be having is about all the questions related to the budget.
and that his motion is at this point kind of held in abeyance as we discussed, but that it is appropriate to ask and have discussion about the budget.
My understanding is that we must address our remarks through the motion. Excuse me, let me answer your question. But since the motion is to approve the budget, it seems to me that if you have reservations about that part of it, or support about that part of it, they would be appropriate for the discussion. I see Jack's hand.
I don't see Jack's mic.
Good evening.
And push the timing button.
I want to amend the motion to include recommending to management and to the treasurer looking for ways to implement the spirit of Joy Moore's concern having to do with appropriate funding level for the apprenticeship program. And if there's a second to that...
I'll second that. With a point of order.
There is a second, and there is a point of order.
I think the recommendation needs to be made to the Finance Committee, making a recommendation to the Treasurer specifically doesn't really accomplish what you want.
Yes.
So
yes.
I would change it to management.
You said management and the Treasurer.
I would change it to management and the National Finance Committee.
Okay. Is that good?
No. I have a point of order on that.
Look, I'm not going to recommend a goddamn thing to the National Finance Committee because I am on the local station board and you are the National Finance Committee and you get to say no to everything, but you don't get to say no to me here.
Proceed, Jack.
All right.
So long as it's
All right. Is there a second to Jack's? Joy,
yes.
Is that a second?
Seconded.
The motion has been seconded. Jack, would you modify it if you care to?
My motivation is that I believe that we are as close to a positive consensus as we can be at this point, given the timeline, providing that we are able to address, if not in detail, then in spirit, the concerns of the apprenticeship program. So I don't think that it's useful or appropriate for us to go niggling through lines and columns of the budget on this. I think that it's useful and appropriate to say to management and the treasurer, here's a concern that we have. Please figure out a way of addressing that concern and letting us know how you figured out how to address it.
Thank you. Craig has asked for the floor. I draw the board's attention. Do we have approximately 7 minutes in this agenda item? Craig?
I thought it was restarted.
So I have a question for the maker of the motion. I'm really unclear on... I guess I'm wondering what it means to implement concerns about funding level. To me, it seems like we either approve money for the membership for the apprenticeship program or we don't. I mean, everybody has sympathy for it, and we can all say, "Gosh, it would be great if we had more money for it." But I'm wondering, what exactly do you mean by that? Do you mean if more money comes in that they'll allocate it for the apprenticeship program, or what? It's just. I mean, this is a statement. I'm sorry.
You refer to what I said, the point of my position.
I'm just wondering if he, it's one thing. Well,
okay, you asked the question. And
what are the details here? What's the specifics?
Craig has asked the question. I saw Brian's hand, and I'm going to turn to the maker of the motion and the seconder for a response. Brian?
You want me to just use my authority?
Okay, that's right.
Project.
So I think it's vague.
Push a button. The timing.
I think it's vague, but I don't think that's inappropriate. I think basically Richard said he wants to hear what our priorities are as early as possible. And I think this is a motion that says, outlines one priority for the board. If you look at the history of the apprenticeship program, those three production positions that worked in full circles first got added to the station's payrolls because the station went out and got a grant from the San Francisco Foundation to pay for them. It wasn't because the station said, let's just plug $25,000 out of something else we're already paying for. It's because it made that a fundraising priority and part of the plan. So I think when we establish that as a priority, when we're working with development professionals, we're making asks of major donors and helping to fill out grant applications. And when we're dealing with the person who's managing the budget and managing any funds that come in excess of the budget, a statement of priority says this is the direction we want to move in. We don't have a roadmap yet. We lean on management to draw up that roadmap. I think it's useful as a motion that is not that specific because there's nothing left on the line of the budget now.
I call a question.
Well, let me just be sure. Jack, is that, and Joy, maker and seconder, is that a sufficient response to Craig's question for you?
No.
I hear you on the common question. But
so the only reason why I chimed in, not just because I made a second, but because his motion refers to me. He has my name in the motion. And what I had said, what he was saying, what I had suggested, I agree with Brian's allocation of $5,000. Yes, I want to pass the budget like you can't believe I want to pass it. But what I would like in there is instead of a three-quarter time position for this coordinator, fund drive coordinator, I'd like a 0.5 and a 0.5 for the apprenticeship program. And I won't argue with Brian's characterization of how those positions came about and all. There was lots of funding going on a long time before, but just as a point of fact, the apprenticeship program did try to apply for a big grant and Lindland failed us. So we weren't able to do what we were supposed to do. So that's just past history. So, but I don't want to get it confused with what we need right now and our goal. What is our goal in the budget we want to pass today? And I would like to suggest that our goal is to strengthen the apprenticeship program back so they can still function because we are suffering. It's not just that we need to maintain. Things will go down shortly. We don't get that. And also, the $5,000 that he set aside, I think is very important for them to face that. So that was my clarification for order. Jack, am I wrong? Or?
No, you're right.
Okay. Maria has asked for a comment. Maria?
I just want to add some points of
information. Is that on?
Yes, it is.
I think
points of information or whatever.
Clarification,
yes. We have had many departments cut, many, and those have not been brought back up. Hard Knock Radio has been cut. They're working 5 days a week with just one FTE position.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mitch. Mitch is now going to be, as of Monday, he'll be on four of our radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
And he pitches for each individual one with every fund drive. He does it on his own, okay? All due respect to you, because you know I love you, but all due respect to you too. I had 17-hour days here last week, you know, going crazy, answering questions, actually. But anyway, there are so many departments that have been cut. And if we had so much money, I would love to give it to everybody. Also, point of information is that in 2010, when we had layoffs, we asked for volunteer layoffs. Unfortunately, one of the co-directors decided to take the voluntary layoff. And we can't pay severance to someone so that person can leave and then fill that position again. So that kind of left you guys down half a position. But please, you know, if we had the money, we'd give it to everybody. I mean, you know, my boyfriend calls this my $5 an hour job. You know, we all work way overtime. That gentleman over there, I see him from 7 to 7 every day. I see this one from 3 to midnight 3 days a week, you know, and we're all doing it. But again, please keep in mind that we have all been cut, and other departments haven't been added to either. One other point of information that I would like to do, and then I'll give it up, is that our general manager, interim, temporary, whatever, he has a really good idea. Nobody's asked about, you know, we keep calling it the fund drive coordinator, but there is a lot of meat behind what this position is. One of it is to actually, what do you call it, the
coordinate the volunteers.
Coordinate the volunteers. Okay, but that's not just phone volunteers. We're talking about radio volunteers. I don't know, I'm sorry. I don't know what that means. But anyway, I would like for him to be able to give you a little bit more meat behind this before you just slash it to a 50% time. So
we asked him, he answered.
My friends, we run out of time. Janet, I noticed that you have asked for the floor. I'm going to recognize you, and then I'm going to say that we've run out of time and force a vote on the motion. Please, Janet.
Okay, first I want a clarification. Are we voting just on Jack's motion?
Yes.
Not all of them.
No, then we go on the amendment, and then we go to the main motion.
Okay. And two, Jack, are you in agreement with what Joy was describing, the 0.5, 0.5, is that your motion? You said in the spirit of what Joy, is that?
My motion is as it stands.
Which is to include recommendation of the funding for the first voice apprenticeship program. The implication be increased.
It is not part of my amendment to make a specific budget amendment. It is not. What it is a conveying to management of the spirit of that recommendation, asking them to find room in the budget for those items. And that's different.
Yeah, you asked a question, you got an answer, back to you.
And so once we vote on this, then we're going to immediately go to vote on the main.
Yeah.
That is correct.
So I just have a nit to bring up because I meant it well.
You got the reputations. Go ahead. She knows them.
So I had emailed everybody that I had found some Excel errors, and they are in 3 cells, so I would like the two of you to
check those out. I really wish you had brought that up. Let's hear what they are.
Okay, so V25, AE11, and AE25. The budget line 11, AE11.
AE.
That cell.
11.
Okay. And then line 25, V25, and AE25. So the calculation, very.
Oh, V. So
the calculations that you have are incorrect.
Unless it's driven by the template. But
yeah,
go ahead.
I think you copied. I mean, what I calculated is way different.
Well, let's have those specific.
Okay, so what I came up with for V25, that it should be closer to, instead of.
Could you just name them first, please, again?
Very 25.
V25.
Right.
Okay.
You have
the other one was AE11.
Yes.
And the third one is what?
AE25.
AE25.
So for V25, you have minus 52.65%, and it should be closer to minus 0.94%. AE11? I mean, there's probably something that should be copied, that wasn't copied.
I don't know, Janet.
All right, so take a look. That's all I would like you to do, is take a look at those details.
And for information, those are on variances, not on actual numbers.
But the other, all the others are consistent, and those three are not.
The request from Janet is that they be reviewed. They will be reviewed, and Janet, if you would do me the courtesy of conferring with both the business manager and the treasurer with the specifics, I would be grateful. Okay. We're now on the Jack Kurzweil motion, which the treasurer
amendment.
And it's not the treasurer, the secretary will read.
Okay. So just as a recap, Ryan's motion is to approve the budget with the $5,000. Jack's amendment, and I clarified this with Jack, that he's addressing... Yeah, okay, I just got to do this for everybody here. He's addressing additional funding for the apprenticeship program over and above 8 hours that are incorporated in the budget. Okay, so I just made a small clarification for that. So the amendment is to amend the main motion to include the recommendation that additional funding for the First Voice Apprenticeship Program be made to the treasurer and management.
Yes.
That got it? Okay.
I'm sorry, can you repeat it?
Sure. So this is what we're voting on. To amend the main motion to include the recommendation that additional funding for the First Voice Apprenticeship Program be made to the treasurer and management.
Sounds good to me.
Pardon?
It's okay because we're taking away the whether or not the flood drive coordinated position is 0.5%.
Anyway, all those in favor of the motion.
Roll call, please.
I'm going to allow a roll call. It's been brought to my attention that I've got to do some research on the methodology of roll calls. But for now, I would ask the treasurer, the secretary, to read the roll.
And we're voting on
the amendment, the Jack Kurzweil Joy
that is for giving advice.
Right on your last name, sorry, Joy.
So this is normal. Andrea, is this clear?
Not terribly.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's do the roll call. Okay. So this is a roll call on the amendment. Agamir is not here. Alderson votes yes. Bernstein is not here. Edwards Teeker.
Yes.
Edwards Teeker is yes. Fuentes is not here. Gans is not here. Goldmacher is not here. Hellinan.
Yes.
Hellinan is yes. Hernandez.
Yes.
Hernandez is yes. Johnson.
Yes.
Johnson is yes. Coburn.
Yes.
Coburn is yes. Kurzweil.
Yes.
Kurzweil is yes. Moore.
Yes.
Moore is yes. Morgan is not here. Pritchett.
Abstain.
Pritchett abstains. Rosenberg?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Rosenberg is yes. Sanders?
Yes.
Sanders is yes. Sawyer?
Yes.
Sawyer is yes. Siegel?
Yes.
Siegel is yes. Sterling?
Yes.
Sterling is yes. Mateo Nichols is not here. Travis is not here. Whipperman?
Yes.
Whipperman is yes. White?
Yes.
White is yes. And Wilkinson is not here. Clean sweep, almost. Well, 15 yes, 1 abstention.
It's a unanimous vote with one abstention. Thank you.
Hey, wow.
We're now ready to vote on the main motion. Would you read it, please?
Did we close the
debate? I beg your pardon?
Have we closed the session?
The time has run out.
Hell yes, we closed.
We got 10 minutes.
The time on our agenda item has run out. I have not heard.
I'd like to make a point about process.
The chair, we've run out of time. The chair is calling for a vote. We have other things on our agenda, including...
That we're not going to get to,
but we have a report from our friend Mel from KFCF. The chair is calling for the vote on the motion as amended. Will the secretary read the motion?
Point of order?
Point of order.
Point of order. Mr. Chair, my understanding from past practice is that the times on the agenda are estimated, as it says on the agenda. EST, I assume, means estimated start time.
And so nothing on here, and I don't know of any motions where these things, we started our meeting 20-some minutes late. So I'm not really sure how these, they've always, the culture of this group, as I have understood it, that these are recommended, and that if we decide to close debates, that requires a vote. So barring that, I would suggest that we allow members to continue to discuss the budget until our meeting.
So we don't have a vote, so we have
point
to
order.
That's the point of order.
Linda, Chair.
Point of order over here.
Point of, I understand there's a point of order over there. Okay.
It's a clarification, Chair. You may recall we voted on the agenda to keep to the time.
Yes, we did.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, what the chair, one of the things that I said earlier in the meeting,
yes, we did,
was that the proper way, once we do an agenda, is to abide by the closing time. And I announced a couple times during this session that I was going to enforce it. And I reminded people when we started this debate how much time we had remaining. So the chair has made a ruling. Does anyone want to challenge the chair? Hearing no challenge to the chair, the vote will be on the motion as amended. Is there any desire to hear the motion and its amendment again?
Yes.
All right, would the secretary please read it?
Okay, so here's the full motion as amended. To approve the budget with the proviso that station management add $5,000 to account number 6571 to pay for unpaid staff to participate in training and conferences with the prior approval of their manager or department head. And to amend the main motion to include the recommendation that additional funding for the First Voice Apprenticeship Program be made to the Treasurer and Manager.
Will those who are in favor please raise your hand? A roll call has been added. Again, my footnote is I will do some research and readdress this matter of roll call. The roll call will be ordered.
Okay, Augemeyer. Augemeyer is not here. Alderson, I vote yes. Bernstein is not here. Edwards Tiekert?
Yes.
Edwards Tiekert is yes. Fuentes is not here. Gans is not here. Goldmacher is not here. Hallinan?
Yes.
Hallinan is yes. Hernandez?
Yes.
Hernandez is yes. Johnson?
Abstain.
Johnson abstains. Coburn?
Abstain.
Coburn abstains. Kurzweil?
Yes.
Kurzweil is yes. Moore?
Yes.
Moore is yes. Morgan is not here. Pritchett?
Abstain.
Christian abstains. Rosenberg?
No.
I'm sorry?
No.
Rosenberg is no. Sanders?
Yes.
Sanders is yes. Sawyer?
Yes.
Sawyer is yes. Siegel?
Yes.
Siegel is yes. Sterling?
Yes.
Sterling is yes. Nichols is not here. Travis is not here. Whipperman?
Yes.
Whipperman is yes. White?
Yes.
White is yes. And Wilkinson is not here, so that's 12 yes. One no. Three abstentions.
The next item on the agenda is a report, the KFCF report, and I would like to congratulate and thank the board for its hard work and realize we were a number of feelings involved, but Mary, grab a mic, please, and please give our attention to our colleague.
Did I understand that this was going to the national district as part of that?
Yeah.
The next step, yes.
We pretend we have power.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. My report from KFCF, I'm learning. I should get in writing so I can just say, I'll do that anyway. Sorry. But we did have two board members to our local board. We had a couple of things that we did at the board field. And thanks to Brian, we have a keynote speaker for our event coming up this fall.
Is that right?
And the other thing is we're keeping our fingers crossed about the Pacific Rim, because we need money, and they do, so we may get left out. Well, that's my report.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the attention.
Thank you for the travel.
Yeah.
A motion is made for adjournment. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
Nay.
We are in adjournment.
We actually have one announcement. One moment.
Oh, God.
It is Richard's birthday today. This is how we met him. Oh, that's so
amazing. I spent mine in the dentist chair.
That's less painful.
Is it more painful or less?
Right. That was more rewarding.
I got nitrous, so pleasurable for a little while.
Yeah.
At least I got Novocaine.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then there's a lot that I got nitrous.
So who's gathering these up? What?
They stay here.
Yeah. All right. Gather up your papers. I think, Brian, you will pick up the mics.